Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you. My guest this week is Nick Callisto. Nick is the Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Avery Dennison, a global material science and manufacturing firm specializing in designing and manufacturing a wide variety of labeling materials. The company is headquartered in Glendale, California, employs over 30,000 people in roughly 15 countries, and has revenues of roughly $7.1 billion annually. As CIO, Nick is responsible for driving and executing enterprise IT strategy for the company, which includes managing the company's overall strategy with respect to information technology trends, driving efficiencies across the organization, improving delivery of IT services and products in the business, and building on the company's existing culture of operational excellence. Prior to joining Avery Dennison, Nick was the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Xylem, and he was also the Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Kay Hovnanian Companies. In this interview, Nick discusses how Avery Dennison's IT team shows its value to other functions by capturing, reporting, and then communicating how IT is contributing value to the company. This process starts by aligning IT's goals with other functions and influencing how IT can help the company to achieve its key strategic pillars over a five-year planning horizon. Moreover, the team has created an IT value scorecard, which contains metrics regarding health, delivery, outcomes, and agility. Lastly, the team communicates the value it's providing through quarterly business reviews with a well-written annual report that communicates the value across the spectrum. We also discuss the three parts of the company's digital workplace strategy, the education program that the company's put in place, which has sent leaders to the University of California, Berkeley, and looks to improve digital literacy throughout the organization, Nick's take on the Internet of Things, artificial intelligence, and quantum computing, and a variety of other topics. Nick Callisto, welcome to Technovation. It's great to speak with you today.
Same here, Peter, as always.
Likewise, exactly right. I've been looking forward to this. Not our first rodeo, but certainly a new environment for you, or at least a new one in terms of us going on the record together. And let's begin there, if you don't mind, Nick. You now work for Avery Dennison, a tremendously large organization with a big and broad scope to it. But for those who might not be familiar with it, I wonder if you could take a moment and just describe the business.
Yeah, Avery Dennison is a global material sciences and manufacturing company specializing in designing and manufacturing a wide variety of labeling materials. So our products are used in nearly every industry, including pressure-treated sensitive materials for label and graphic applications, tapes, and other bonding solutions for areas like industrial, medical, and retail applications. We manufacture tags and labels and embellishments for the apparel industry, and also radio frequency identification solutions for both the retail apparel and also getting into more markets with that product. We're headquartered in Glendale, California. We employ over 30,000 employees around the world in about 50 countries. And last year, 2018, our sales were $7.1 billion.
Excellent. And you were the Vice President and Chief Information Officer of the company. You've been a CIO multiple times over at Kay Hovnanian, which is actually where you and I originally met back when you were headquartered in Red Bank, New Jersey. You went on to Xylem, where you were also a CIO. You and I had a great interview during your tenure there as well. And now at Avery Dennison for a little bit less than a couple years now. And I wonder if you could talk a bit about not only your purview as CIO, but now as you and the organization get more involved in this broad topic of digital, if you could also peel back the onion on what that entails within a setting like Avery Dennison.
Sure, absolutely. So I joined in March of 2018, and it was during strategy planning time. So I joined in March. We had to do a strategic plan by June, and we developed a vision within IT along with our stakeholders to become a core competitive strength for the company. And to do that, we have a mission around developing innovative, cost-effective, value-added technology products and services that are aligned with, but also accelerate the company's four strategies. So that's sort of the purview that we have. And around digital, I mean, every company is trying to use emerging technologies to both transform and to optimize. And for us, it really is, you know, about having the ability and the desire to exploit both existing and also existing technologies, existing and emerging technologies for better business outcomes. And so we have the ambition to use these technologies to both optimize and transform the business. I can talk more about examples of where we're doing that across the organization.
I'd love for you to do so. I know from our past conversations since you've joined Avery Dennison that you've referred to some of your activities that you refer to as digital transformation versus digital optimization, both key aspects of what an IT leader, a digital leader ought to be undertaking. But I'd love again for you to provide some definition as well as some examples.
Yeah, absolutely. So from a definition standpoint, I don't think I'm going to be sharing anything that's sort of net new here, but we define it pretty much how Gartner and other periodicals, industry research advisory firms will define it. Optimization is really about improving, you know, existing business models through productivity, revenue generation on existing products and services, the employee experience, and also employee engagement. So those are the pieces of optimization, right? So going after those components. And then digital business transformation, the way it's defined, we really embrace it, is really the journey about pursuing new net revenue streams from new products and services. And you know, I would say while our portfolio of digital programs are probably a little more heavily or have been heavily weighted towards optimization, we're really experiencing a shift toward more transformational programs as we work towards our sustainability goals as a company and trying to become more of a disruptor in our industry. You're seeing more and more of our efforts around transformation. And I think ultimately, Peter, you know, our cadence, the cadence of our transformation will depend on when our industry hits that sort of tipping point, right? So, you know, we're just carefully monitoring the industry and leveraging emerging technologies as well as existing technologies. And the reason why I harp on that is because I think the existing technology base that we have is sort of the gravity to digital. You can't go very far with AI without tapping into your ERP systems, your legacy systems are really an important part of digital transformation in our mind. So I can give you some examples of transformation if you like. And
please do.
Also, okay, fine. Yeah. So yeah, in transformation, so these are real examples of the company, you know, leveraging these breakthrough technologies, right? So we have in our retail branding and information systems business, so we have a business called Retail Branding Information Systems. So information systems is in the name, right? And we have a business unit that's enabling connected restaurants and by introducing really an ecosystem platform called Freshmarks, intelligent solutions. And here we're leveraging IoT technology to solve food industry challenges. It's quite interesting. One of the solutions is the Freshmarks temperature tracker, which enables restaurant operators to automate temperature and humidity monitoring in their cold storage devices to help reduce waste and also to improve food safety and increase efficiency. So that's a real example of creating new net revenue streams for Avery Dennison through IoT technology. Another example, the second example I'll give you, and we can move on to maybe optimization, is Avery Dennison's Janela solution. And this is powered by the Everything Smart Products platform. It's a third-party provider that we have a relationship with. And it enables apparel and footwear products to be born digital. Very interesting. So each product has a unique serialized label connected to the Everything IoT platform. And that provides the ability to capture real-time data, create sort of personalized content and unique customer experiences to drive brand loyalty. So as customers buy a pair of sneakers or they buy a leather jacket, they have that sort of consumerized experience. That product is now born digital and they can put that into their digital closet. They can share that piece of clothing with friends. They could sell it off of their digital catalog. So it really creates that sort of more consumerized experience from a digital perspective with apparel and footwear. So that's the second, you know, example I give you for transformation. Again, a new net revenue stream for the company.
Really fascinating. And as you referenced, I'd love to hear some examples of what qualifies as digital optimization.
Yeah, so on optimization side, there's a lot more in that area because that's where a lot of companies got started, I would imagine. That, you know, we're 80-year-old company, right? So it's tough to move the ship towards digital. And there's cases where we don't really want to do that, right? So we do really well with material sciences. We are a material sciences business. And so, but there's certainly opportunity for us to get more involved in digital products and services. And this is where you're seeing the examples. And internally, looking internally, again, using it to drive efficiencies and employee engagement and the like, factory automation. We have a digital workplace strategy. And this really is around, you know, I would say reimagining traditional processes to boost productivity, to protect our assets, to also improve employee engagement, right? So when I think about our digital workplace strategy, it's about letting go of the past, right? And as Warren Buffett once said, you know, the chain of habit are too light to be felt and they're too heavy to be broken. I love that quote from Warren Buffett.
That's
so
great.
It's letting go of the past. And so we look at it as being three parts of our digital workplace strategy. One is unified communications and collaboration. And these are all the tools that employees use to include email and telephony and video and file storage and sharing, collaboration, productivity tools. And we have an app store. So we've been using the G Suite since 2016. One of the first firms to go global with G Suite. G Suite offers, Google offers a host of new features constantly to help employees, you know, work smarter, right? And with machine learning. So you're seeing a lot more machine learning embedded and then artificial intelligence embedded into the Google Suite. And we were talking about this early before we did the call about how you could be on a video conference and it's translating your words, what you say right into around the screen so you can actually in written form see the translation. And it's just pretty interesting how that's, people really are leveraging that. We have that translation ability from different languages when we do our email. So it just, it finishes sentences for you. So that's a way of introducing emerging technology, AI, you know, into the workplace. We've deployed RingCentral, which is it's a cloud-based business communications platform to help with, collaboration and online meetings and conferencing as well. We also have a host of cybersecurity technologies as part of our digital workplace strategy, such as phishing campaigns to help protect our employees. And the last part of our digital workplace strategy is around, I should say the second part, is about seamless and intelligent authentication and access. And here we are just really eliminating the need for passwords. This is about letting go of the past, right? So why do we need passwords? And we're enabling a lot of PC-based biometric, facial and fingerprint recognition. So employees can log on, seamlessly to their workplace applications and, saving a lot of time and frustration, Peter, with having forgotten passwords. And I forgot my password recently on my iPhone. It just drove me crazy because I had to reboot the whole phone and, get it reinstalled. And even with biometric, right? So when you reboot your phone, you have to, that first time around, you got to put in your 6-digit password. And I had forgotten that and I had to reboot. So it's really frustrating. You lose a lot of time and energy having to go through that process. So seamless authentication is a big part of our strategy on digital workplace. And then the last piece is content and service management. I was just up at ServiceNow. We just did a deal with ServiceNow. We're going to be deploying that around the world for both HR and IT. And it'll help, allow employees to get direct access to the knowledge that they need to do their jobs and also to have their issues resolved by either chatbots or by humans, whatever the need is. So that's really transforming the way that we work to much more of a contemporary consumer-like experience with ServiceNow as an example of our content and service management digital workplace strategy. So those are the three components of digital workplaces, which is one area of optimization. We can get into other areas like digital factory, which is also part of optimization as well. That would be the sort of the corollary.
Very interesting. Thank you for providing those examples. And I think it's fantastic to see the differences between those. And, it's interesting, Nick, as a sidebar, it's great knowing your story now across multiple stops as CIO, the extent to which you're passionate about it, ensuring that the organization, the IT organization, is involved both in, new value, including new revenue value, which I think is really kind of an unusual domain although thankfully a growing domain for CIOs, in addition to the efficiencies that one might argue has been the traditional way in which the IT organization has provided value to and innovation to their enterprises. So getting some examples that encompass both of those and translating them through the transformation and optimization lens is particularly interesting. I know actually one of the things that you're also very, that you have focused on and that you're passionate about is growing digital fluency throughout the organization. All well and good to have these great ideas and to keep your organization thinking about how can it continue to recast existing processes, develop new methods, develop new ideas that will lead to new sources of value and so on. But it's important that the broader organization have at least a common level of understanding and fluency, as you put it. And I wonder what form that's taken. How have you done that within the organization?
It's interesting. I've done a couple of talks recently for different magazines, and I'll talk about digital transformation optimization, and that'll go fine. And then once I talk about the education program that we put in place, and I get off the stage, I'll have like five people come up, because that's the only thing they want to hear about. That's the part that they're most interested in. So I knew you were going to ask me about that. So Nick, how did you go about this education program? And I don't know if we've done anything sort of revolutionary here, but I think that the point is we're doing something about it, right? And I think that's we have built out a digital literacy program through a formal education, strategy. And I think that's, I don't know if it's unique, but it's very specific, and there's been a lot of deep thinking involved in creating this educational program. So, Avery Dennison's ambition for digital solutions is really accelerating the need for a broad workforce digital dexterity. Okay. So what we're doing is promoting the digital dexterity across the enterprise really requires a coordinated learning program, and including, influencing the corporate culture to embrace emerging technologies. And IT is providing educational services to bolster creativity, design thinking, agile methodology, and overall digital literacy with some of the most compelling emerging technologies you can think of, like blockchain and machine learning, different languages, and just getting our employees more exposed and more comfortable with not only learning these technologies, but also practicing with them. And that's where you get the dexterity. Digital literacy is learning about these programs, and the dexterity part comes with actually practicing with these technologies and building business cases around these technologies, and being able to educate others on how you can embrace breakthrough technologies to deliver transformational or optimization results, right? So we put together an e-learning program where we put out a lot of we do webinars, and we record the webinars. Peter, we put out a newsletter around in written form about articles about how the industry is leveraging emerging technology around manufacturing. What we've done internally and how we've done proof of concepts around optimization or transformations, we write about those, and we talk about where we've gotten some wins and also talk about where we've experimented with some technologies and decided not to move forward with them. So we do that. And I think the cornerstone program that we've done is we have a relationship with UC Berkeley, and we've done our first cohort. We've taken 21 leaders of our company and put them through a 5-month program on digital, right? So that's the most exciting part. In fact, they graduate the week after next. Pretty excited about that. And we have a lineup of like three or four cohorts now ready to go, because it's gotten a really good recognition throughout the company. So and that was done in concert with UC Berkeley. So I think it's an exciting area to be. I think a lot of companies are working towards this as well. But it's the one that seems to get a lot of attention when I talk about it.
Clearly, because it's a need, and because other organizations are several rungs of the ladder down from you in terms of evolving this to something that's more productive. So great to get an understanding of how you've done so. Another way to ensure that IT, and I would also say, by the way, another area that you're leading relative to a lot of your peers, is proving IT's contribution to EBITDA. I know that this has really been a challenge for a lot of CIOs and IT teams. in not necessarily translating into dollars and cents and benefit ultimately to the company, enormous budgets, what typically are enormous budgets for IT. And I know, again, this is something that you think very strongly about. And I wonder if you could describe the method behind this in some detail.
Yeah, absolutely. So as business partners, we are working with our stakeholders to use IT to deliver effective business outcomes. So, we really wanted to measure these outcomes, and it begins with shifting the conversation about IT. About IT from costs and service levels to really a shared focus on how IT could be leveraged to improve processes and customer satisfaction, to innovate new products and services, and deliver business growth, right? So we measure, as most IT leaders, we measure lots of things. we have hundreds of metrics, right? But we boil it down to, we have a process internally that we use to boil down to what are the top 10 metrics that really matter, right? So we have that for each function, and IT is not alone in that. But so we have a three-step process that we use to be able to capture and report on our the value that IT is contributing to the rest of the organization. So the first step is really about aligning goals with other functions, right? So I stay away from calling it aligning IT with the business, because IT is part of the business, and I know it's sort of been overused out there, but I help educate people on not using us and them, and not IT working with the business. If anyone says the business, I always get a little upset about that, because we're also part of it, right?
So, amen. Amen.
So without,
I love that perspective.
Words matter. Words are very powerful, right? And you create this sort of subservient attitude towards IT if you just don't use the right words, I think. So I think it's important. So we're all pretty aware of it now. We try really hard to not say that word. So we are part of the business. And so we have an annual strategic planning process that we use where we partner with our stakeholders, right, to influence. And we really want to use that time, Peter, to influence how IT can help the company achieve its key strategies over the five-year planning horizons. That's the first step. Starts with the strat plan. We do that every year. And we know that the strat plan is a continuum. It evolves, right? So when that ink is dry, it's going to change, right? We recognize that. So we have multiple steps throughout the year where we calibrate that strat plan into annual plans, et cetera. So when in mid-year, we'll do adjustments throughout the year. So I don't want you to think it's just this once and done thing. It's a continuum. It's a continuum. So the second step is we've created an IT value scorecard, right? And it contains metrics over a number of domains. One is health, another one is delivery, the third is outcome, and the fourth is agility, right? And I'll just speak to them really quickly. Health is about, how efficient is IT when it comes to its technology investments? And it's, do we have, the right process leadership committees selecting the right technologies along with our architecture review board to power those processes that we want to improve, right? So what about our uptime? How are we performing with respect to benchmarking, right? So what's the health of IT? So a lot of traditional metrics are in there, uptime, recovery time, but also how we govern IT and how we go about our project management methodology and our portfolio analysis, right? So that's the health part of it. The delivery is about, delivering, timely and on an efficient basis, running processes efficiently, supporting all of our users, our tickets and that sort of thing, and ticket response time. So that's the delivery part, right? And then the outcome is, which you're getting at, is KPIs that link spending with business results. And so we're real proud that we measure not just digital, we measure programs around the organization and, how they're delivering real outcomes. So we use EBIT to be, that's sort of the thud factor is the EBIT, right? And IT contributed an estimated $33 million of earnings before interest and taxes in 2018 across the enterprise through IT-enabled programs. So we've calculated that with finance to be able to go down to a deep level around how is IT really contributing value to the organization? And we measure that on an ongoing basis, right? So that's an important one. And the last one is agility. That's the last part of it, is KPIs that really have a, really kind of tell you the long-term story of IT, the success of IT over a sustained period of time. And this is about, you know, employee engagement is a really good metric there. We also do business and technology fitness scores. How fit is our technology stack now, and how fit will it be with respect to business requirements and also the technology in 3 to 5 years. So we do that as part of the agility aspect of it. And then we communicate. We are very transparent. I know you in the past, you and I spoke about this. We do, you know, quarterly reports. We do a QBR for IT, a quarterly business review for IT, which we spend some time preparing for that. And we invite people across the organization to listen in. We record it and we send it out to people that may have not had a chance. We do an annual report that's really well written and just communicate the value of IT across the spectrum. So those are the steps we take to capture, report, and then communicate how IT is contributing value to the organization.
That's great. I appreciate that holistic response. And I'm curious, how metrics-oriented was the organization when you arrived, and the extent to which portions of what you've described were introduced since your arrival? How did you go about sort of introducing those? Did you do it whole hog? Did you do it in waves? Any lessons in terms of adoption, as well as, you know, kind of leveraging that data productively to make sure that there was a constant, not only a feedback loop, but improvements from it?
Yeah. So when I joined, I mean, they certainly had a lot of metrics, as you would expect. And I think a lot of the metrics that I reviewed when I saw, when I read through reports that they had shared with other functions, were more around the table stake metrics, right? Which you'd expect, sort of uptime, response time to tickets, that sort of thing. Budget, how are we performing to budget? And they did a very good job with that, and they always manage a very good job. I should have mentioned this earlier. IT, we've done a lot of outsourcing at Avery Dennison way before I got here. They done a fabulous job with outsourcing the right way. We kept the right roles in. You're always tuning that, by the way. You're always going back and tuning that. But the roles that need to be in and as employees are here. And then we have the commodity-based services, we've outsourced that. They did that many years ago. So I just point that out. But they had a lot of metrics around just the SLAs with our strategic partners, and they did a really good job with that. What we were missing was, what does it all mean? At the end of the day, what are you contributing in terms of value back to Avery Dennison? And I think it was the EBIT part was not there, right? That really has created a lot of excitement, both within IT and outside, and also outside of IT, and really recognizing that IT is more than just keeping the lights on here. We are helping the company grow and transform, and the way that you do that is put a dollar on it, right?
Yeah, indeed. I know that culture is very important for you as well. Monitoring, defining, refining a culture, and of course within your purview, IT's culture. Can you talk a bit about some of the ways in which you do so, and maybe you can also describe in your own words the culture of Avery Dennison IT?
Yeah, so I mean, Avery Dennison has sort of 8 values that describe our overall culture, right? And we thought about that, and we certainly embrace that culture as part of IT. We have to, right? And something we want to do, and it works really well for us. But if you're thinking about sort of the digital ambition as sort of like a call to action, we formed a digital innovation center of excellence, which I didn't talk about earlier. We call it DICE. It's just kind of a fun acronym to have, DICE, because innovations are pretty risky and sort of gambling with innovation. So it works pretty well when it comes to digital, right? So they came up with an We thought about culture because it's one of the most challenging issues you have when you're trying to get an organization to evolve to embrace digital technology, where it was more of a material sciences business focusing on physical assets, right? So it was certainly a challenge. So they came up with an acronym that they called LEAD, and this is to help change the culture. L is for learning, right? It's from shifting from a know-it-all culture to a learn-it-all culture. And we really encourage employees to, chart this course by educating themselves and their teams around digital technologies and practices. And DICE the Digital Innovation Center of Excellence provides these materials. I was talking about how we promote, you know, the educational part earlier. So the DICE team is really the center of all of this. They're putting out the newsletters. They're putting out the webinars. They're doing the DLAP program, the Digital Acceleration Program up at Berkeley. They run that program. They also, we have a DICE lab that does proof of concepts. And then the fourth part of DICE is the links, which is linking out to the ecosystem, working with small and large technology providers to help help us with these services. So L is for learning. E is for engaging, and it's about having ideation sessions, design thinking sessions to create, you know, identify creative ideas to both optimize and transform the company. So the DICE team can take these ideas back. That is an operating committee that will decide on which of the ideas we should go forward with and build proof of concepts. The DICE team does not scale. What they don't do is scale the solutions into production. That's something we leave for we have teams around the different functions around commercial, manufacturing, R&D. Those are the folks that will take these emerging technologies that we've proven out and then take it forward and actually scale them where it makes sense. And then the A is for being an advocate, Peter, being an advocate for making this cultural transition a personal priority. And then the D is for discovering the needs of our customers with a beginner's mindset and customers being outside of the company, not internal customers, going outside and working with our customers with a beginner's mind to, you know, come up with solutions that really delight them and surprise them, right? So we need to have an insatiable desire to learn from the outside and bring that back in. So, you know, what I say to people that, you know, if we apply LEAD, if we apply these four aspects to help evolve our culture, we can really ignite creativity, agility, and learning to really innovate at the speed and the scale that's really demanded by these uncertain times and these really changing markets. The alternative is really clear, Peter, because if you take the word, LEAD and you chirp and you say it backwards, it's deal. So you can either lead with digital innovation and disrupt the market, or you could deal with being disrupted by digital innovation that's happening to you. You like that?
I do like that. It's a great story. I like that. Well, good. Say it again, please.
I was just going to say, somebody smarter than me figured that part out. I didn't think that.
Well, good of you to leverage it anyway. Before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about trends. As you look to the future, Nick, which trends particularly excite you and are making their way onto your roadmap?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of exciting. I mean, I just came back from, like I said, Silicon Valley, so I've got a lot of jargon in my head right now. You know, I was sitting in the Watson lab earlier this week at IBM, just fascinating, talking about quantum computing. There's so many exciting technologies. So I have to sort of like ground myself a little bit. So there's many trends that excite me, given because they're trends and there's traction with them, right, in the industry. And I'll talk about some of those. And then there's newer advances that are just very intriguing to me, right? But they're not trends yet. They're just nice ideas, and there's lots of proof of concepts, but they're really emerging, right? So with trends, I think, honestly, I mean, IoT is a real great breakout technology that there are about 14 billion devices in the world, I read recently, and it's predicted that there will be about 29 billion connected devices by 2022. That's like four devices per human, Peter. You know, I mean, so it's amazing where this is going. So by 2022, we'll all have about four devices, right? And we probably, I mean, it seems like it's happening at a faster pace, right?
Right.
And we are, so Avery Dennison is one of the largest manufacturers of RFID. So we can help products be born digital. So this is a trend that I can personally, you know, relate to because of our mission at Avery Dennison. So IoT certainly is very interesting to me. We're doing a lot in that space. The other trend is artificial intelligence. I think the percentages of enterprises that have deployed AI has grown from about 4% in 2018 to about 14% this year. It's just booming. I think it was a Gartner CIO survey that I read earlier this year. So it's it's just another area. We're seeing it now. We've done some work, as you mentioned. We have, in the digital workplace, we have with employee engagement, we've certainly seen how AI can really make a difference with the Google Suite, right? We're also using AI machine learning in our factories to predict when we think we have large machines that create these big, large rolls of label materials. And that's called a web. When you have that roll going, you have this web. We can predict when that web will break using machine learning. So because when it does break, it takes time and energy to rebuild and reset that machine. So we want to eliminate that time. And we're doing that with machine learning. So it's pretty exciting. So those are two areas. IoT and AI are trends, real trends that we're embracing. And then there's other areas like, you know, quantum computing, right? It's kind of new. That just intrigued me. So in fact, I think I'm going to take a few folks up to IBM in Yorktown, New York next year just to experience the quantum computing lab and maybe bring some use cases in there and see what comes of that. Just to, again, back to our digital learning program, you know, help expose our leaders to the latest advances. And that to me is one of the latest advances you can think of, right, is quantum computing.
Yep. Exactly. Well, Nick Callisto, thank you so much for joining us on Technovation today. It's been a great conversation. Fascinating to learn about your evolution as a CIO, all that you're putting in place, you and your team, that is, at Avery Dennison. And look forward to remaining in touch with the progress ahead.
Thank you, Peter. It's always a pleasure. I really appreciate the questions and being part of the experience. So thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. And please join me next week when my guest will be Adrian Gore, the Chief Executive Officer of Discovery Bank, the world's first behavioral bank that's designed to help customers improve their financial health and reward them for banking healthier.